Here's Manny Pacheco.
My good friend, Emmy Award-winning announcer Jeff Bordner, thank you. And welcome to a milestone episode of Forgotten Hollywood. I've written an award-winning book series sharing America's story through actors from Hollywood's golden age. Joining me, as always, the radio columnist from the Orange County Register and my dear friend, Gary Lyken, with his weekly On the Backlot report. This is our 50th program. We thought it would be fun to look back on our 2+ years to bring you some of our favorite moments. When we began this instinctive journey, Gary, Steve, and I decided to make each episode special by thematically presenting historic compositions from the studio era of cinema. Our first two shows paid homage to the Oscars. We featured award-winning and nominated fare. Early on, we spent an hour with Walt Disney, and it was pure whimsy. Let's venture back in time. When Walt Disney's Wonderful World of Color premiered in 1961, a lucrative collaboration emerged. Songwriters Robert and Richard Sherman provided Disney with his most reliable composers. They created celebrated music from his award-winning films, including Mary Poppins, Winnie the Pooh, and The Jungle Book. Their work even offered continuity after Walt Disney died in 1966. Here are some magical selections from the Sherman Brothers on Forgotten Hollywood.
The simple bare necessities. Forget about your worries and your strife. I mean the bare necessities, or Mother Nature's recipes that bring the bare necessities of life. Wherever I wander, wherever I roam, I couldn't be found of my big home. The bees are buzzing in the tree to make some honey just for me. When you look under the rocks and plants and take a glance at the fancy ants, then maybe try a few. The bare necessities of life will come to you. They'll come to you. Look for the bare necessities, the simple bare necessities. Forget about your worries and your strife. I mean the bare necessities. That's why a bear can rest at ease with just the bare necessities of life. Now when you pick a pawpaw or a prickly pear, and you prick a raw paw, well next time beware. Don't pick the prickly pear by the paw. When you pick a pear, try to use the claw. But you don't need to use the claw when you pick a pear of the big pawpaw. Have I given you a clue? The bare necessities of life will come to you. They'll come to you. So just try and relax, yeah, cool it, fall apart in my backyard. 'Cause let me tell you something, little wretches, if you act like that bee acts, you're working too hard. And don't spend your time looking around for something you want that can't be found. When you find out you can live without it and go along not thinking about it, I'll tell you something true. The bare necessities of life will come to you. Look for the bare necessities, the simple bare necessities. Forget about your worries and your strife. I mean the bare necessities. That's why a bear can rest at ease with just the bare necessities of life. Yeah, with just the bare necessities of life.
Yeah, man. It's our first Best of Forgotten Hollywood program, and today we're celebrating episode 50. I'm Manny Pacheco. We've had special guests, including radio legend Art LeBeau, but Gary, Steve, and I must agree the most special person who spoke with us in the history of our weekly series was the iconic Debbie Reynolds. Here's my partner, Gary Lyken, with standout Q&A from this interview.
You know, Debbie, you've had an amazing film career. I think of three films when I think of you especially. I think of Singin' in the Rain, Tammy and the Bachelor, and of course, you know, unsinkable Molly Brown. But before Singin' in the Rain, you played Helen Kane in the movie Three Little Words. Tell me how that role came to you.
Well, I was at Warner Brothers Studio under contract, first of all, in 1948, where I was at Miss Burbank, and the talent scout there drove me to Warner's, and that's where they renamed me Debbie. And then one day Mr. Warner really felt he wasn't going to go forward with musicals, so he said to the talent scouts, his name was Solly Baiano, why don't you drive Debbie over and see Mr. Mayer? And so I'm just 16. I was just 16 years of age. That's pretty young.
Yes.
But I put on my little record, and I did my little square in the social circle, it was called, of Betty Hutton. And they just smiled throughout.
But see that funny-looking kid coming down the steps? Well, look out, Hollywood. Here I come.
I want to be loved by you alone.
Alton Carpenter and I only did this one number in the picture, but it certainly helped our careers, even though the voice wasn't mine. MGM brought in the song's originator, Helen Kane, to sing the vocal.
Make you my own. Bop, bop, beat up. Ooh, ooh, ba-doo. I wanna be loved by you, just you, and nobody else but you. I wanna be loved by you. Ba-dum, beat up, beat up, beat up. Boop, boop, ba-doo.
Talk means chimp, I love you too.
Then the big baboon one night in June, he married them and very soon they went upon their abba-dabba honeymoon.
Abba-dabba-dabba-dabba-dabba said the chimpy to the monkey. Abba-dabba-dabba-dabba-dabba-dabba said the monkey to the chimp. All night long they chatter away, all day long they were happy and gay, swinging and singing in the honky-tonky way. Abba-dabba-dabba-dabba-dabba-dabba means monk, I love you. Abba-dabba-dabba in monkey talk means chimp, I love you too.
Then the big baboon one night in June, he married them and very soon they went upon their abba-dabba honeymoon.
Forgotten Hollywood is celebrating a birthday. This is show number 50. Hollywood's golden age traveled hand in hand with the development of the magnificent swing era. One week, we analyzed the pioneering music trend for a generation by focusing on such greats such as Benny Goodman, Duke Ellington, and Artie Shaw. Here's the moment when I spent chatting about the battling siblings of swing. And speaking of tumultuous, how about the Dorsey brothers? Tommy and Jimmy began as a session orchestra, but split up in 1935. Tommy had a distinctive trombone playing style, while Jimmy played the sax. Tommy Dorsey had more hits. He also hired Sinatra, Joe Stafford, Buddy Rich, Dick Hames, and the Pied Pipers. Jimmy had Helen O'Connell. Both were the first big band leaders to have a biography developed for the screen. They temporarily reconciled and starred in the film. It's time to feature Tommy from the Fabulous Dorseys and Jimmy from the Fleets Inn, which starred Dorothy L'Amour and William Holden on Forgotten Hollywood.
Thank you. is breaking.
Break for me,
Marie.
Girl, my dreams, I want you.
Away.
I need you
to find.
Heaven may to
our
be.
Hearts are a
la 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 la.
And tears.
There we go, cry again.
As
baby,
you
darling,
recall
baby.
The moon.
This is Manny Pacheco, and we're sharing timeless audio moments from our 50 programs from Forgotten Hollywood. Movie genres have played a critical part of our show. We've spent treasured time with westerns, war films, and even Christmas. My favorite film genre is still comedy. I shared a poignant story remembering my early personal relationship with the origins of comedy. In 1957, a vintage film historian named Robert Youngson embarked on a crusade to deliver silent comedy to a new generation of audiences. Focusing on the humor of Laurel and Hardy, Buster Keaton, Harry Langdon, Fatty Arbuckle, Mabel Normand, Ben Turpin, Charlie Chase, Billy Bevan, Edgar Kennedy, and the Keystone Cops, Youngson reacquainted baby boomers with anthologies that were funny and nostalgic. The early work of Carol Lombard, Gloria Swanson, Wallace Beery, and Gene Harlow are also featured. The golden age of comedy, when comedy was king, and days of thrills and laughter were the best of the bunch. The remarkable approach by this inventive director is his constant reminder that many of these funny men are gone, long retired or dead. He chose a piano theme from Chopin to underscore the pathos of a forgotten era. The orchestral selection was adapted by George Steiner. It was my first introduction to Mack Sennett, Hal Roach, and the silent motion picture. Every time I hear the sonata, Triste, I fondly remember these terrific compilations. I'm Manny Pacheco, and you've discovered Forgotten Hollywood.
Advise that this place be shut up at once.
But everybody's having such a good time.
Yes, much too good a time. The place is to be closed.
But I've no excuse to close it.
Find one.
Santé, monsieur.
Santé. Everybody is to leave here immediately. This cafe is closed until further notice. Clear the room at once.
How can you close me up? On what ground?
I'm shocked to find that gambling is going on in here.
You're winning, sir.
Oh, thank you very much. Everybody out at once.
Mademoiselle, after this disturbance, it is not safe for Laszlo to stay in Casablanca.
This morning you implied it was not safe for him to leave Casablanca.
That is also true, except for one destination, to return to occupied France.
Occupied France?
Mm-hmm, under a safe conduct from me.
What value is that? You may recall what German guarantees have been worth in the past.
There are only two other alternatives for him.
What are they?
It is possible the French authorities will find a reason to put him in the concentration camp here.
The other alternative?
My dear mademoiselle, perhaps you have already observed that in Casablanca, human life is cheap. Good night, mademoiselle.
When we return to Forgotten Hollywood, more from our 50-episode retrospective. Manny Pacheco here. Forgotten Hollywood, Forgotten History, and Son of Forgotten Hollywood, Forgotten History shares Americana through the eyes of actors who appear under the titles of such iconic movies such as The Wizard of Oz.
That's a horse of a different color! Come on in!
Casablanca.
I'm shocked to find that gambling is going on in here.
And It's a Wonderful Life.
A discontented, lazy rabble instead of a thrifty working class.
Son of Forgotten Hollywood, Forgotten History was recently a 2013 gold medal recipient from the Reader's Favorite Book Awards, complete with a star-studded ceremony in Miami. You can purchase the entire Forgotten Hollywood book series on Amazon and at independent bookstores, and you can download the first paperback to your virtual library as an ebook for your Kindle, Nook, or on your favorite e-reader through Apple. The Forgotten Hollywood book series is a perfect gift. I invite you to visit ForgottenHollywood.com and pick up a copy of these books today. I'm Manny Pacheco, and you've discovered Forgotten Hollywood on your radio dial. Today, Gary, producer Steve, and I are celebrating our 50 program deluxe. We've spent many hours together enjoying great vocalists, including Sinatra, Elvis, Doris Day, and Judy Garland. And how about those great songwriters like Jimmy Van Heusen and John Barry? A particularly engaging show was our tribute to Danny Kaye. When the comedian recorded the popular tune from Disney's Alice in Wonderland in 1951, Samuel Goldwyn had an epiphany. He assigned Kaye the lead role in Hans Christian Andersen, a really big budget musical. The Danish cobbler and storyteller was vividly brought to life in words and song. A huge film then, it's today an almost forgotten Hollywood afterthought.
There once was an ugly duckling with feathers all stubby and brown. And the other birds in so many words said, get out of town. Get out. Get out. Get out of town. And he went with a quack and a waddle and a quack in a flurry of eiderdown. That poor little ugly duckling went wandering far and near. But at every place they said to his face, now get out of here. Get out. Get out. Get out of here. And he went with a quack and a waddle and a quack and a very unhappy tear. All through the winter time he hid himself away, ashamed to show his face, afraid of what others might say. All through the winter in his lonely clump of weed, till a flock of swans spied him there and very soon agreed, you're a very fine swan indeed. A swan? Me a swan? Ah, go on.
And he said, yes, you're a swan. Take a look at yourself in the lake and you'll see. And he looked and he saw and he said, I am a swan. Whee! I'm not such an ugly duckling. No feathers all stubby and brown. For in fact, these birds in so many words said, the best in town. The best, the best, the best in town. Not a quack, not a quack, not a waddle or a quack, but a glide and a whistle and a snowy white back. And a head so noble and a heart. Say, who's an ugly duckling? Not I. Not I.
Two and two are four. Four and four are eight. Eight and eight are 16. 16 and 16 are 32.
Inchworm. Measuring the marigold, you and your arithmetic, you'll probably go far. Inchworm, inchworm, measuring the marigold. Seems to me you'd stop and see how beautiful they are. Probably go far. Inchworm, measuring the marigold. Seems to me you'd stop and see how beautiful they are.
This is Forgotten Hollywood's episode number 50 and counting. We're looking at the top moments from our past 2 years. Possibly my most favorite program was our fond look at the icons of cinema. By simply uttering their names, our imaginations raced to tunes that defined their career. I remember noting, not all screen greats are known by a musical theme, surely not Clark Gable, Betty Davis, or King Kong. The same can't be said about Lassie, the Lone Ranger, and even luckily, Gene Kelly. The most unlikely star might have been Orson Welles. However, the music from Citizen Kane doesn't exactly come to mind. Yet, when one hears the theme from The Third Man, the larger-than-life director, writer, and actor is remembered for his use of the zither in movies. Literally, the same can be said about Snapshots in Time, introducing folks as Sean Connery, Jack Lemmon, and Walter Matthau. Exhibit A and Exhibit B are ready for your audio examination. And where else? Right here on Forgotten Hollywood. Gary Lycan On Location, and his On the Backlot report with current news and notes that reference Hollywood's past.
Hi, I'm Gary Larkin, and welcome to this week's visit to On the Backlot, where we discover the past is still relevant today, where the movies, the music, and the people who brought it to us still touch our lives. So grab some popcorn and join us down front in the theater as we take our stroll through the studio backlot. Today's episode reminds me that with each passing day, Hollywood landmarks sometimes vanish without a trace and are quickly forgotten. So in today's backlog, I wanted to tell you about some places that will be around for years to come, I believe, and are worth paying a visit to when you're in the area. Let's start with the Beverly Hills Hotel. Now, you may say, oh, it's too expensive, and I could never go there. Well, you love Hollywood, and you appreciate history. Yes, you should. I stayed there 3 times, even though I lived nearby, and it was a really good treat. The cost, sure, it's not cheap, but we're talking about a forever experience. By the time you pull into the valet parking, you're treated as special as royalty. Having a late lunch at the Polk Lounge, or go down the spiral stairs to the coffee shop for a sandwich and a malt. Take a stroll out to the pool. And if you see a place to lounge, do it for an hour or so. The hotel's had upgrades, but still retains its original look and charm. I highly recommend it. Next, check out the studio tours. No, I don't mean Universal. I am talking about the other studios where you can take private tours. The Sony Culver City lot was once MGM, but there's still plenty to see, including the Wheel of Fortune and Jeopardy soundstage. The Warner Brothers private tour is a must, too. Guys take you down streets where Jimmy Cagney once started out with the bad guys. Or how about the good guys? If you want to see a thriving film factory, take a private tour of the Sony lot on Radford in Studio City. Dozens of TV shows are produced there. If you've ever watched the opening of Gunsmoke and viewed the church at the end of the street, well, the church is gone, replaced by the Sony parking lot and sound stages. But there are signs pointing out historical places where well-known TV shows are produced. And if you want to go behind the scenes at Paramount, there are ways to do it. Get tickets to see Dr. Phil, for example, and when you leave, kind of sneak away from that crowd. Try to wander the back streets where names like Marlene Dietrich and Lucille Ball pop up. It's your own private adventure into parts of Hollywood that are now forgotten. And before you leave town, go to Musso and Frank's on Hollywood Boulevard. Yes, there are newer hotspots today where you can see the young, the rich, the famous. But take time to appreciate the past. You'll be glad you did. And you'll find yourself singing hooray for Hollywood on the way home. Thanks, Manny and Steve, for this special celebration of our 50 shows. Here is to 50 more. Back to you.
Gary Lycan, thank you for your latest news, notes, and boxes of popcorn. And producer Steve Guzman, we are proud of your continued contributions in total. Let us move on to our next milestone together. Join us next week for another edition of Forgotten Hollywood. And remember, let's never forget. I'm Manny Pacheco.
Royal princes and princesses.
That's all, folks.
Cut. Porky, could we just get a little bit of the stutter? Just a little bit of the stutter. That would be great.
Yes, of course. Silly me.
Not a problem. Ready? Quiet. Ready and action.
That's all, folks. Darn it! Did it again, didn't I? You wanted the stutter. Sorry, guys.
Perfectly all right. Still rolling. And action.
That's all for the folks.
You're sounding great, Pork. We'll get there. You got the stutter. Tell you what, could we get the stutter on the that this time?
I'm sorry?
I'd just like to try getting the stutter on the that.
That's all, folks?
Exactly. You're doing great.
Oh, obviously. You want to do it?
No. You're the star. Porky, you ready? And action.
That's all, folks.
Cut. Beautiful.